I really wish I was recording prior to that.
You know you can't have hemorrhoids on your ear, right?
Yeah. But
exactly. It goes through the whole bloodstream, absorbed into the skin.
I hate both of you.
Towards the anus.
No. Where I had the industrial done, it gets inflamed, and like it was really bad, and I tried everything, and I remember the piercer being like, hemorrhoid cream. So I actually tried it. Works like a charm.
Sweet.
So every now and again when it gets inflamed, I just hemorrhoid cream it up, which makes sense. It like reduces inflammation.
Right. But yeah. And it probably has some sort of like a pain relieving.
Yes. It has 20% lidocaine. Yeah. So once
lidocaine?
Yeah. And so like I touched it once and then didn't realize it and touched my lip and like half my mouth went numb and I thought I was having a stroke. It's funny now. And I've done it a few times.
It was terrifying in the moment.
And then one time I did it at work, and I was talking to one of my friends at work about it, Katie. And I was like, you want to put some on your lip to see what it feels like? And beyond reason, she said yes. But before I could tell her, only do like a little bit, because it was just like a touch. She had like put it on her fingers and put it around her whole mouth.
Oh, jeez.
And she does checkout for us, so she's like constantly talking to patients.
Right.
And she's like, my whole lips are rubbed already. And I was like, yeah, you weren't supposed to do that. You'll be fine in like 20 minutes.
She
like, she ran to the bathroom and was like wiping her mouth off. And she's like, I can still feel it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. We are joined today by one of our good friends, John.
Best friends.
We are actually the three best friends
that anybody could ever have.
Anyone could ever have.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
And today we have an awesome topic that actually we recorded one episode of this prior.
Wah, wah.
Zach and I. And due to technical difficulties, that episode is lost. But today we are redoing the topic and the content with an added guest who will bring...
Who just turned his hat backwards and went from John Paley to Pon Jaylee. Well. Expert musician, drummer extraordinaire, and does something at Guitar Center. I don't know what. Gets us discounts.
Yes. Gets us ridiculous, awesome discounts.
John, say hi.
Well, what's up? I'm here. I'm ready.
Oh, he's so nervous. I can tell just by looking at him.
I'm here.
He's crying.
That's why he had to turn his hat backward. He had to put it rally, get himself pumped.
I've got two people with hat backwards, and I'm sitting here with a...
Bandana?
A bandana, headband. Scrunchy. Yeah, headband. Yeah.
All right, I'm going back.
You should take your hat off. Your hair looks sick.
It does. If you are in the capital region, yeah.
Follow, was it Ariana the Stylist?
Mm.
At Ariana the Stylist on Instagram.
Yes.
She does all of our men's cuts.
Yep.
And we all look sexy.
Wow.
Yeah. Coming from Mr. Sexy Coffee himself.
Yeah.
So shout out to our hairstylist.
I'm only sexy from like the forehead up.
Wow. Wow, mid drink.
Thanks, Ariana.
That was amazing.
Wow. All
right. I derailed Zach's intro as first intro co-hosting the podcast. So please.
I think that was a phenomenal intro.
Please take it over. What are we doing?
Today, we are talking about music. Just kind of our own musical background, what all we play, family musical background, classical trained versus self-taught, things like that. So, to get us started off, I'll start with John.
Oh.
We'll go around. You're the guest. We have to start with you. Yeah.
Okay.
People are here listening right
now.
That's not true.
No one listens for Zach and Zach.
Wait. Before we get into that.
Did we get anything from our Netherlands?
No, because the episode never aired. So, I have to put this out there. I can look at the statistical breakdown of like where listeners are from.
Yep.
And like I can obviously tell from the burden of listening activity if there's like if a VPN is involved, mm-hmm. obviously. We have had 10 downloads from the Netherlands. Each episode has been downloaded from the Netherlands.
10 episodes, 10 downloads from the Netherlands.
And I need to know if it's just like a weird place to have a VPN route through. Like, I've never experienced that before, but I don't have a lot of experience, I suppose. Or if we actually have a person in the Netherlands listening. And so I urged them, if you're listening and you actually are from the Netherlands, you need to send us a message on Instagram.
Yeah, DM us.
And, ship you a shirt from our podcast.
We actually went into it quite a bit on the lost episode.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah. But I think it's phenomenal. I really hope that it's true that it is an actual fan in the Netherlands. Like some random person in the Netherlands was looking through like Apple Podcasts and was like, I'll try this and just decided to fall in love with our podcast.
I really hope it's Gold Member.
I really am excited and hope that we do legitimately have like this one dedicated fan in the Netherlands.
That would mean the world to me.
You would automatically become like the favorite fan of the podcast.
And if you're not real and it's just somebody else, VPN. You're dead to me. Anyways, Jonathan.
That's me.
Jonathan J. Lee.
That's me.
JP.
You started music when you were 3 years old, hitting a cymbal.
That's not true.
Oh.
That's false news.
He's stealing my thunder.
I was saying, are we doing like a ask question, answer question?
We're doing good cop, bad cop.
When did you start playing music? Well, my first good question is family background. Did you grow up in a musical family? Does anyone in your family play music? Was that like...
Not really. My uncle played a lot of country music.
I never knew that.
That's awesome.
And I guess like where a lot of my desire from music comes from my best friend's father. His name's Alan.
Not familiar.
Super tall, bald-headed, jacked guy.
I didn't know your dad was named Alan and was super tall and bald and jacked, Zach.
Not this best friend. Yeah. His one true childhood best friend.
Yeah.
And instance, Alan is an animal.
Yeah, he's a monster.
I miss him.
So I kind of consider him family. I wouldn't say kind of. I definitely consider him family.
Mm-hmm.
Not blood family. But yeah, him and my uncle were probably the only two musical influences in my life.
Nice. You should come back on with Alan. Just talk straight drums.
Yeah. We'll just beatbox.
Is Alan a drummer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's nice.
Yeah. He's
sick drummer.
Mind
blowing.
Playing
for 20, 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Toured a lot in Arizona, across the states. That's a lot of experience.
All around nice guy.
Oh, the best.
Nice.
The best.
So with that influence.
So what instrument did your uncle play?
Acoustic guitar.
Okay, and that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only thing I've seen him play.
So do you enjoy country music?
It's okay. I think there's some songs that are nice, but I think in general, I'll usually prefer to listen to something else.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
So your uncle, did he play like professionally? Did he tour or just kind of like play at home and have fun with it?
I think he just mainly played at home. At least I haven't seen him. Like he would sometimes play at like parties. But that was also when I was like a lot younger since he stopped. I don't know. Every time we go to a party to his place, he's always playing country music and, you know, drinking a beer and all that kind of stuff.
Did an ice cold beer ever break his heart?
No, but we listened to Red Solo Cup probably every single party.
I don't know any of these references.
Mine was a Luke Combs reference. So we are giving credit where credit is due, so don't come after us for
Ah, yes. If Luke Combs ever happened across this,
yes,
it would be worth the cease and desist.
It would be worth.
But I still want our first cease and desist either to be Kanye or Paul Pierce.
Wow.
Okay.
Kanye would be
And
cool.
Those references are from previous episodes, so go find them. And this is fun, because even though we already recorded this, I remember none of Big Daddy Jenkins' answers.
Really?
So I'm going to ask him and be like, so what was your family, you know, history with music? And I'll do it jokingly, and I don't remember a darn thing about what you said. Does your mom do something with music? Did she sing?
So,
tell me she sang. Did I make that up?
So, not, like, technically. Like, she'll sing around the house and stuff like that, but she never did, like, you know, didn't sing in a band or choir or nothing like that.
Not in a band of horses?
No. My dad, we did discuss this for both of our dads. My dad is a phenomenal air guitarist.
Ah, you know? I remember that part.
He goes hard with air guitar.
Nice.
Same with my father.
Yeah, he also does not play any instruments. Except for, you know, the radio. Or I would say that I got a lot of good appreciation for music from my parents, because they both grew up like 60s, 70s, kind of like classic rock era. Yeah. And so I grew up listening to a lot of like good classical rock and stuff like that. So I got a good appreciation, almost like a good musical education.
Okay. I dig it.
They didn't have a lot of musical influence, whereas my sister is a great musician.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, my sister started playing piano, like, I don't know, when she was really young. And she was very talented with piano. She was classically trained. And I remember growing up, like, going to her recitals and stuff, and she was phenomenal. But it's kind of one of those tales of, like, very strict classical teacher that just kind of burns out a student. My sister ended up getting
Whiplash.
Which we discussed how I haven't seen that movie, and I really need to see that
what?
Movie.
Yeah, isn't that wild? That That's crazy.
Because I referenced that a lot on the worship team.
Okay. Well, we'll have to have a Three Amigos night and watch Whiplash.
Oh, you could do the review like you did for Cocaine Bear.
That'd be fun.
That's a callback.
Yeah. Thank you, Pon.
Good job, buddy. Are you into that?
If all three of us watch Whiplash together and then do a, what did you think about J.K. Simmons and why is he amazing? And why was it fun to watch Miles Teller cry? I'm going down a rabbit trail.
Yeah. So my sister was very musically talented. She's naturally got a fantastic voice, can sing. Without any classical training with her voice, she taught herself guitar, is good at guitar and started like writing music, all this stuff. So she has a ton of natural, like, musical ability. So that's kind of my family background. I think I got a good education from my parents, and then I kind of grew up as the younger sibling watching my sister and her playing music, which sparked my interest. Before we get on to the next question, Zach, what's your
on to the next, on to the, no.
What is your, Mr. Sexy Coffee, what is your family background with music? Did you have any musical influence growing up, or are you the oddball in your family that just broke into? This is a really long word. Just say, you know the question.
I'm the oddball in the family, but not for that reason. As you touched upon previously, I'm not going to say that. As you touched upon previously, your father shreds a Mean Electric guitar, the air variety. My father also is an air guitarist by nature. And he would be a great time at karaoke, not like a professional or semi-professional singer, but, you know, he'd have a good time. My mother was the musician, if you will. I know growing up, I believe she played drums. She's played piano, guitar, and bass.
Slop of the bass.
Yeah. So we had a piano in a house growing up that we kind of just like punched every now and again the keys to be hey, I'm, like dumb little kids do. Never learned how to play it though. And
did you actually punch them or would you like kind of poorly play on them with
yeah just force? Poorly play on them.
Okay.
When I got married though, I'd bought Lex a keyboard because she used to play piano for years and years and years, and I was like, oh, you should play again, and then she never touched it. But I did learn to play that that dun 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 song. And then my brother and I learned to play guitar at the same time. I gave up guitar, obviously, because he just had hours to practice, and it was very demoralizing listening to him just like go from nothing to shredding in like 3 weeks. When I'm just like, ding, ding, ding.
And he's over here like playing Hendrix and like
yeah. So but then I started playing bass because I heard For Whom the Bell Tolls and the beginning of that is a bass, and I was like, that's everything I want in my life. So that's how I got into playing bass guitar. Hey everybody, I play bass guitar. And yeah, I would just learn Metallica songs and then AFI songs and Blink 182 songs. And just memorize them. So I didn't actually know how to play the bass. I didn't know what I was playing, but I knew that I was copying people, and that was good enough for me. Yeah.
So you didn't start playing the bass till after you and Lexi got married?
Oh, no, sorry. That timeline may have been confusing. I started playing bass when I was probably like, I got a bass when I was like 17.
Okay.
Maybe 18-ish. I didn't really start playing until Jamie told me to play that Easter Sunday for the first time in front of people. But we can get into that story. So like when I say playing, that's what I mean, like, because then I knew what I was playing because I was learning slowly.
Yeah.
But like when I was like 16, 17, I was just playing, you know, a bunch of Metallica Against Me, probably Black Flag and whatever the heck Henry Rollins was doing with himself at that time. God bless him. So, yeah.
Like,
so I would say, like my mom was the musician in the family, but because me and my brother were learning at the same time, like we kind of like melded off of each other a little bit. It definitely took me longer to get into my rhythm to where I am now, which I still don't consider myself a proficient bass player.
What?
For our audience listening, he is full of it because he is a very capable very proficient
bass can play player. What I need to.
So can I.
Yeah, but like shut up, guest. No. But like if you heard a song, you're like, that's a cool song. You could play it without even worrying about it. Or if like when we start writing songs and I'm like, John, you need to come up with a drum line for the song. You're going to be able to do it.
I see what you're saying.
Whereas if somebody was like, Zach, come up with the bass line and all that, like I could give you like a standard structure, but I'm not going to do any frills or anything because frills hurt my heart. Frills hurt my head. Sometimes my hand and my heart.
I thought you were going to say hand and heart.
But, and this may be another topic for another day, but writing music and being able to play proficiently are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
skill on its own?
Yeah. Writing music is its own...
difficulty.
Yeah. So, you started learning bass when you were like 16 and playing... that'll be in our next question. So, we're moving on.
Oh, spoilers.
You jumped into the... into the second question. So now to JP for a second.
Oh, well, you know, you didn't send out the outline to people. You kept it on your phone. I so I didn't know where I was jumping.
JP, what all do you play and how old were you when you started learning?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, we'll start with my main instrument, which is the drums.
Yeah.
Drum master, actually.
Wow. I wouldn't consider myself that, but I appreciate the compliment. I probably started playing the drum set around 13, 15, somewhere around there.
13, 15?
Yeah.
Like before America was discovered?
Yeah, I was the inventor.
That's wild.
Yeah, well, that's why it took me so long.
And how old are you now for the audience listening?
My actual age or since 13, 15?
Let's go with
823. I'm 23 years old.
23. So for a decade, just about, you've been playing the drum set.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, continue.
That is impressive.
And then I probably started playing, I played percussion before the drum set in school.
So like what kind of percussion?
The triangle.
Yeah, triangle is one of them. No, I'm being serious. Tambourine, just a snare drum on its own, xylophone.
Okay.
Well, so all of these are being
Did you play snare like a drumline snare?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's
like
cool.
Not like marching band. It's more of like an orchestra concert. Okay. Setting.
So you didn't Nick Cannon it?
No. No.
I made a Nick Cannon reference earlier and both of y'all missed it.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. It should have been funnier then. Okay. Moving on.
Wow.
Shots across the bow.
Was the Nick Cannon reference about having 17 different children?
I don't remember that.
No. You said something about when you're looking for him to write a drum line, and I said, like, Nick Cannon.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I missed that.
That went right over. Yeah.
Mine was funnier. Yeah. Hold on. Speaking of not Nick Cannon, do you see that dolphin safety who has four women pregnant at the same time?
No. What?
Like, dolphin how do you have safety? Time to be an NFL player and practice and start and then impregnate four women at the same time?
I thought, like, I went to, like, the animal.
Oh.
Like, safety and then, habitat, and then he somehow, and then I went to, like.
And then he's like, how did a dolphin? Yeah.
No, that
I was like,
yeah.
Four times, really?
That's wild. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I thought of, like, the guy who watches the dolphins in the zoo or whatever. And I was like, oh, who cares? cool for that guy.
Okay.
How did we get here?
Nick Cannon.
So
Nick Cannon.
You played percussion.
Yeah.
But more like orchestral.
Yeah, more like a concert setting. So it wasn't any like string instruments, but it was like brass, wind instruments. And then we had like a whole percussion section in the back row with probably like four or five people. And I was one of them.
Were you the best one?
Some years I was definitely the worst.
I am astonished that you called yourself the best one some years. I've never heard you compliment yourself.
It depends on the instrument. Like I was for some reason always really bad at the snare drum. But like anything that was like more melodic, I was a lot better at.
Okay.
Cause it, I don't know, maybe cause it's, there's more parts. So the other kids didn't want to like learn it. I don't know. But so like the timpani and the xylophone were like my two main.
What's that first thing?
Timpani?
Yeah.
It's
what
like
is
the
that?
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, the
boom,
big boom. Drums. That
like
you play
from Spaceballs?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
They usually have four of them, like four like giant.
They're
ones.
Large and you play with like mallets. Mm-hmm.
Is that what like Clown would play in Slipknot? Clown
would play in Slipknot. Another reference that I don't remember. Like I said, if I saw it, like, there's two.
I don't think so. It's, it's. Think orchestra.
Okay.
The dude standing.
Okay.
That has it's big.
Like the big circular mallet things? Are the drums like as tall as a human?
No.
No, that's
like
a
half
bass
as
drum.
Tall of a human?
Listen.
Can somebody show me a picture?
That's exactly what I'm doing right now is
and
Googling
then we can have breakfast at Timpani's.
At Timpani's.
While he's Googling that, because I want this on recording, John, what is your dream percussion setup?
Oh,
because this is
going to
be very
setup.
Important in the next few years for us.
Yeah, those are timpanis.
It's like a drum cauldron.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just a cauldron with some skin over the top.
And there's pedals in front of them.
What?
And that like tunes them up and down. It tightens the head.
That's so wild. I want one.
They're big.
I want one.
Yeah, they're huge.
You'd have to get the parts individually through the door, then build it in your house. And then if you wanted to get it out, you might be able to throw it through the window. But they're big.
Jeez. Anyways, what's your dream percussion setup?
Do you want percussion or drum set?
Percussion.
Okay. Because like, I was going to say, that's like, two different.
That's where John's heart is moving right now.
Like as if I'm playing with someone like, on the drum set I have my own little percussion.
Hypothetically.
Yes, hypothetically.
The worship team just got a brand new drummer who is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Which opened up an avenue for you to be a percussionist at said church on said worship team. What instruments would you require?
Well, definitely shaker. That'd be number one.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd want a cymbal. I don't know how it would work in the building that we have, but I'd want a cymbal that I can swell on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got to do like bongos or congas or something like that.
Yeah.
A full hand drum set.
Mm-hmm. Djembe. What else would I want? I feel like I would want a tambourine, but I feel like if people see me playing the tambourine, they're going to bring their own tambourines from home.
They won't.
Okay.
They won't.
They're not allowed.
They won't.
I was about to say, I think you broke Zach. They won't.
Set the record there. Okay.
We don't do that here.
So the real question is, in your percussion set, will there or will there not be more cowbell?
Oh, I guess I could do cowbell.
Is that a Christopher Walken?
I think it's a Nick Cannon reference.
And the only prescription is...
That was bad.
No, it was bad.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be good at it.
I liked it.
You weren't trying to be good at it? Why would you do something and try to not be good at it? I think I had too much vinegar today.
Build a bridge.
I'm uncomfortable. And jump off it.
And get over it.
Oh. Man, you're nice. Guys, if you're wondering who's the nicest host, it's definitely Zach over me. Because I was build a bridge and jump
Zach
off
over
it.
Zach.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, back to your...
Would you have a xylophone, though?
I would like to, but I don't think it would fit the music
setting.
That wasn't
the question. He's talking about House of Miracles starts with a xylophone.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You could do a lot with it.
Oh, I would want some electronic heads that I could like sample like a clap in or like some stuff like that. That would be...
Or do you remember, and maybe you don't, maybe it was just my limited experience in a certain realm. Like, there for a while in worship circles, the electronic drum pad to the side that always had the, like, bass drop.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Boosh, yeah.
Like, it was, like, a huge fad there for, like, 2 years.
What's, yeah.
I feel like we play a song that would have that, but... I was thinking Tremble.
Tremble.
That's what I was thinking too.
I remember Jordan had that drum that drum pad when we played Tremble twice before it got taken away.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool for youth services, but I don't think
it didn't transition well on a Sunday morning.
No, we had like a sub kick in there too.
Oh just, yeah, that was
yeah.
Things were wild for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's try and bring it back.
Okay. Yeah. So,
all right, drums is your main thing. You've done percussion.
Yeah.
I know you know how to play piano.
I kind of know how to play piano, but that's only because of percussion experience.
Okay, but you still know how to play it.
Hold on. I'm very curious how percussion experience translates into piano.
So the xylophone. The xylophone and the marimba, the sense of the same keys, just on different...
Using different format.
Yeah. Since I played the xylophone in school so much... I could just translate that to the piano.
That makes sense.
So then I knew chords.
You're so smart.
Well, it's just pattern recognition.
I don't have
it. It's just classical.
I don't have any of that.
So I basically know how to play the piano. I more know how to play the xylophone, which is basically the piano, is a better way of...
It's the piano played with mallets.
Right. Except that now I have 10 little mallets as fingers. but I definitely enjoy playing the xylophone more than I do the piano.
Okay.
Definitely.
You have some classical training from school that's like in percussion.
Yeah.
What about kit, playing drum kit? Were you self-taught? Did you have a teacher? Was it like classical percussion or drum training? What was your learning experience?
It was primarily, I'd say, like 90% self-taught. But it's kind of the same thing with piano, where I took a lot of what I learned from percussion and just transposed it to the different drums and the drum kit. Getting the feet was definitely a hard part, but I'm always like tapping on my feet, and that kind of helped a little bit. Like when I'm playing in percussion, I was keeping tempo by tapping my foot. I think the only outside training that I got was from Alan. That'd probably be it.
Is Alan so ripped? So to preface this question, JP told me, or John told me once, that his drum teacher, if he dropped a stick, would make him do push-ups for dropping a stick. Yeah. And so my
that
next
was in school.
That was not Alan. No. Dang, I was about to ask, is that why Alan's so ripped?
I've seen Alan drop many a stick.
Yes. Yeah, because he's always dropping his sticks.
No, that was in school, and I don't think it was part of the curriculum of percussion. I think that dude was just having a bad year.
A bad year. Just angry.
Yeah,
and
yeah, this generation of kids.
Everybody do push-ups.
Yeah.
So you were taught by some by Alan and some self-taught?
Yeah, like okay. YouTube or books that I can, because I can read sheet music.
Nerd.
Okay.
No, that's actually impressive. Like,
if you're a nerd.
I feel like percussion or drum sheet music is...
It can get a lot.
It can be very difficult, especially when you get to like, all of a sudden you've got 16th notes and you're trying oh my gosh, there's so much stuff on this
on top
page.
Of other stuff. But yeah.
It's wild.
I don't want any part of that. John, what's the newest instrument that you're playing?
I'm learning electric guitar.
Yeah, nice. You are.
Do you know like regular? Do you know like acoustic guitar? Like okay, so you're starting guitar on an electric.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. For the worship team, because we don't have an electric guitarist at the moment.
That is true. Are you okay? So are you doing it to learn more like lead guitar type stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think the biggest challenge is going to be playing with our piano player. Because going from not having another lead part to now figuring out how we can play together.
Our piano player is pretty easy going.
Yeah. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can put in a good word for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
For those that don't know, the piano player is my wife. So she's also incredibly musically talented. So
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Her whole family is ridiculously
it's fun.
Musically
they start
talented.
A band.
It's really fun because whenever I need an answer to something, I ask her and then I get all the credit for the answer. It's just so crazy.
It's a win-win.
You're like,
music directing is fun.
What key are we in?
No, I am the key guru.
He's got the music. Music
even,
stand.
Even before a music stand, I knew all the keys for every song for everybody leading them.
Wow.
When they
didn't
even know.
Is that just because you memorized it? Or if they played the progression, you'd be like, oh, that's the key of E.
Oh, no, because I memorized it. So just to summarize.
We got drums, piano. I would count percussion as its own instrument.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then now I'm learning electric guitar.
And that's it. That's good enough for you.
For right
that's
now.
It for now.
Yeah, got to
do we need
lines.
A bass player and then a male vocalist? And you know, just keep going.
We need a Wamola player,
trumpet player. Oh, I always wanted to play
Caleb.
The harp.
Harp, yes.
That was always an instrument I wanted to play.
Didn't Ariana play the harp? Or is that, did Angelia learning?
I think you're right. It might be. No,
Ariana
plays
violin.
I don't know.
Maybe Ariana always wanted to play the harp. I don't know. I feel like there's a harp thing.
There's a harp somewhere in there. But, I mean, with those four siblings, if there's an instrument out there, I'm sure one of the four of them plays it.
Probably.
You know? So.
I'd put my money on Jordan. I feel like Jordan could probably pick up any instrument and learn to play it the fastest.
I mean, Jordan has confidently said, Oh, yeah. If I need to learn how to play something, give me like a week and I can probably play it.
100%.
And I'm like...
He's just a fat... He fascinates me.
Yeah.
Everything about Jordan. Okay. This isn't a Jordan podcast.
Yeah.
Jordan's going to come on sometime and you're going to know why I'm fascinated
with him. My wife and her family... Well, my wife and her siblings are like inexplicably musically talented and just... Mm.
Yes. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Daddy Jenkins.
What do I play?
You play drums.
I do. I currently play drums, he's guitar,
really good.
Vocals.
Great.
I am proficient at drums. I would say that. I would not say that I'm really, really good. I also do give credit where credit is due. JP John is a very talented drummer.
What's
on the kit?
That's not the direction I thought you were going to go.
No, I'm just... I actually was talking with the worship director about this recently because, like, most of the time when you go to a church and, like, listen to a worship band, like, most churches, unless you're at, like, some of the random, like, the very musically gifted places like Bethel or IHOP or... Mm. Like, most of the drummers, it's like, oh, hey, you can keep a 4-4 beat. Like, cool, get on the drum kit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
JP would fit in perfectly at a lot of these places like Bethel or IHOP that have creative talent, talented musicians.
Where he can just hop time signatures and a drop of a hat.
Yeah. No.
Don't laugh. You can.
JP. I hope I don't embarrass you too much.
We already have, so just delete it.
JP is also like one of the most humble people I think I've met, so he will never toot his own horn. But facts. JP is a very talented drummer.
I'm okay. Thank you.
Oh, his very hands talented. Are so sweaty right now. He's so uncomfortable. I love him.
Was this about Zach Jenkins?
It's about all of us, the three best friends
that anybody could ever have.
So, I musically started actually on piano because of my sister. Because I was young and I saw my sister playing piano and like doing recitals and doing really well. And I was like, that's cool. Like, I want to, you know.
Wait, you saw her do a recital and was like, that's cool. I want to do that. Play in front of a bunch of people all alone.
I mean, I don't think that my kid brain put that together.
Oh, so you were kid.
Yeah, no, I was probably 6 or 7 started. Like, I was kid. Shoot. And I saw, like, my sister got, like, little, like, trophies from her recitals and stuff. Mm. And I was like, that's cool, you know? I'm like,
how old was your sister when you were watching her?
So, if I was, like, 6, she was 10. She's 4 and a half years older than me.
Okay.
So, I started on piano because that's what my sister played, and we already had a piano in the house, and it was not, absolutely not my thing. I didn't like music theory, especially as a little kid. I was high energy, probably too ADD. I did not have fun with the piano. So I kind of burned out on that, like, super fast. And then I know at one point, because I was always like tapping on things and banging on things. I know at one point my parents had got me like a super, super cheap little kid set, you know?
Yeah.
Little Tykes Drummers for Us or something.
Right.
Toys R Us brand.
I barely, like, super vaguely remember that. I don't know what happened with that. I guess I never touched it or played it, or I would like bang on it a little bit, but I had no
the
like
pots
drum
and pans
teacher.
Were more fun.
Right. So I never, that never went anywhere. I tried to learn guitar because one of my friends in like elementary, he was starting to learn guitar. So I took like a couple guitar lessons, but I was just like, I just could not focus enough to learn the like music theory of it all. And so I didn't really play anything until young teenage years. So I actually got really interested in playing drums and started saving up myself for a drum kit.
What made you get more interested in it?
I think I've always loved rhythm.
Okay.
Always loved drums. Like,
what was your go-to music that you would like I'm going to play drums so I can play that. Like I said, mine was Metallica, like For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Oh, man. I can't. So here's the other thing about me. Just musical taste is all over the spectrum. Like, so opera. I'll listen to anything from like heavy metal to like smooth jazz, from like rap to like punk and like all sorts of. So
rap and punk are basically the same thing.
Are they?
Yep.
Anyways,
we're going to talk about that someday.
Conversation. We're not even going to start down that rabbit trail. But so I was all over. I just liked rhythm and was always like tapping on things, and it just fit me because I was very active. I think I needed something more than, you know, just my fingertips to like get the energy out. So I started saving, and I saved actually for like a couple years towards a drum set.
Dang.
So I think that's what actually convinced my mom, like, oh, hey, he's actually serious right. about this. And I think I was 13, and I had saved up like a few hundred dollars. And my family ended up helping and pitching it because they'd seen I had saved up that much. And that's from like allowances and like mowing lawns and all that stuff, you know.
Well,
I saw me saving up. Yep.
Are they really lawns to mow in El Paso? I thought it was all sand and rock.
It was weeds to mow.
Oh, okay.
Fair question.
That's why it took so long to get the money. There was this one person who could afford like sod to keep it alive
in the El Paso heat.
So they ended up helping pitch in, and I bought a kit.
What was it?
So it was a Thomas Swing Star. Beautiful kit.
He wouldn't shut up about this when we were searching for kits. He kept talking about it.
The Swing
Star.
It made, star.
It made star. Me want to see it and maybe even like take up drums again.
I loved that kit. It was beautiful. See, he loves
it. Your kit now is
my
beautiful.
My kit now
too.
Is beautiful. And that is all thanks to
Guitar Tom Center.
John.
Guitar Center.
Guitar John.
John and Guitar Center's help. But... So I got the kit, and funny enough, my sister, who was like a teenager at that point, she had to be an older teenager at that point, was into like going to shows and stuff. This was in like the emo, you know, phase. So she'd always go to shows, and she had met this drummer from a group of friends and started getting to know him, and his name, like coolest name ever, Justice Golmatico Constantine.
Wow.
He was clearly English.
Not Filipino. But he was a phenomenal drummer, like classically trained. Like he taught percussion at a local high school, but he also played in like jazz bands, metal bands, like progressive jazz band. I mean, he's one of those that I really don't know why he's not famous. I think he's just a little too ADD in his musical style to stick with something long enough to get well known at it, but very, very good drummer. And so he started teaching me, and that's where I started learning drums. And he taught me for a few years. And then after that, most everything was kind of self-taught. And then I ended up learning guitar later on when I was part of like kind of planting a local prayer room. This was actually kind of funny. We were talking about it on the Lost episode because it was me and one other friend basically were trying to started planting a house of prayer in El Paso after we had gone to some events at the International House of Prayer. And I was playing drums, but playing djembe because it was like a small space at the church. That they let us come in and do it on Friday nights. And my friend was there who played guitar and basically led. And over the, and we actually joked about this because we got a space at a church to do this prayer room. And it literally was just the two of us for like
not even
a
the
year.
People at the church.
Wow. Yeah. Not even like, the people from the church that we got them to let us use the space would come to the prayer room. It was just
like it's just you two playing music together. Just
doing so like harp and bowl, like so music and prayer together, harp and bowl style worship. Oh,
I don't know. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Harp and bowl.
Thank you, King David, for that.
Shout out King David if you're listening right now.
Whole other topic, but so it was the majority of the time it was me and our friend, and through that, like, I would randomly, like, kind of pick up the guitar and kind of play around with it until she was finally was like, well, here, like, let me show you some stuff, you know, and I started learning that way. Also the same way I started singing, because I am not a huge fan of my own voice, but while it was just the two of us, like, doing these worship and prayer sets, I would, like, have at it, it, like,
it's comfortable.
Why not? And then that same friend was like, you can kind of, you can sing. And I'm like, no, I can't. And she was like, yeah, you can. I'm going to. And we also played on, like, our youth group's worship team together and at church and stuff. And so
Zach's got to teach me how to sing. Nobody's teaching me.
I don't know. Like,
Pedro taught me
I started. So she somehow ended up convincing me to start singing on the worship team. Another funny story where one day I was like, she was like, by the end of this school year, like, I'm going to have you on stage in front of a mic singing. And wow. I was like, ha, 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 good luck. Not going to happen. And somehow it happened.
She's prophetic.
Yeah. So.
And I'm just pathetic.
No, you're not.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I started learning.
Love you, Zach.
Guitar and vocals. And those are mostly just kind of self taught. Drums is the only one that I have any, like, formal training on.
Well,
so,
well,
yeah. All right. For our next question, and I think this is going to be really good for John because I think he has the most to say on this.
No pressure.
So, what experience do you have as far as, like, actually playing the instruments, as far as bands, worship teams, stuff like that? What all have you been a part of? I'm also saying that about John because he's currently on the worship team and he also has a band. So
I'm going to answer before John.
Okay.
I have no experience in any bands other than a worship team, and that's it. Thank you.
How long have you been on the worship team?
I don't remember. How old am I? 30?
Yeah.
I don't know.
7, 8 years, maybe.
Nice. But that's still 8 years of consistently playing as a part of a band with other musicians. That is that's a lot more experience than you give yourself credit for.
Yeah, it is. But I knew my answer was going to be short, and I want to really dive into John's.
Yeah,
so,
I am super
that was my answer.
Interesting.
Oh boy.
Because John's a part of an amazing band.
All right, JP, tell us about your experience in bands.
Bands, okay.
So you already mentioned you played in, like, school band, like, orchestral. What all experience do you have, like, playing in bands, worship? That could include, like, school bands, worship teams, like, garage bands, playing shows, things like that.
Okay. All right, so we'll start with concert band. I was probably in concert band since, I think, 9th grade, maybe 8th grade. And then I did that all throughout high school. So that was 5 years. I think you played one show. I don't remember. I think you, like, you learned like 3 or 4 songs and then you played a show every 3 months. In school.
Okay.
I think it was something like that. Like, we'd have, like, a winter concert.
Concerto.
And then you'd have a, like, one in, like, April, March or April.
So kind of like a winter and a spring.
Yeah. And concert. Then because, like, in school, I wasn't the only concert band. There was, like, a high-level concert band, a medium level, and then a low level. And then there was also that same hierarchy for orchestral bands.
What level were you?
I was in mid in 9th and 10th, and then I think I was high at 11 and 12. So you just play more complicated music is the only really difference.
Oh.
So, like, if you kind of sucked and didn't practice, you would kind of keep going down the chain.
Like, actually, you're getting demoted. You're on the practice team.
That carries over into real life. Right. The more you do something, the better you get. If you don't practice something, you're not going to get better at it, and you're probably going to get worse in comparison to people who do practice.
And then, like, each song, we would switch instruments as the percussionists. So one song would be doing xylophone, then bass drum, and then, you know, timpani on one. And then there was like, I don't know how to describe it. It was like a percussion, percussion like closet almost. Like half closet. And you basically like, you were...
And when did you come out of the percussion closet?
No.
Sorry. Yes.
Why are you gay?
I thought you
Who
were
said I'm gay. You were gay.
I thought you were phrasing it as like I'm talking too long. You're like, all right, well, when did you get out of percussion? No, that's funny. Hey, I knew I should have said closet. Percussion shelf.
If anybody wants to host a podcast, let me know. I'll sell it to you.
I'll sell it to you.
And I'm fired.
Wow.
Yep.
No.
Sorry, I totally derailed you.
No, you're good.
Your percussion closet.
Right. Right. And it was basically just like this like table that had all like the tiny miscellaneous instruments. So you had like a gyro, which is like a wooden, I don't even know. I used to think it looked like a fish, but it's basically like a wooden block. Oh,
and you have like a stick that you rake across it. Yeah,
wait,
like,
that's a real instrument? I thought that's something they just gave kids with ADD to keep them occupied.
No, it's called a gyro. G-U-I-R-O. Gyro.
Huh.
And then you have like the little little chimes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the instruments I loved playing.
Chimes.
Freddy. It was the chimes. Oh, but like I don't remember. It's like a xylophone, but like all metal piping, and that you strike with hammers.
I have seen that. I have no idea.
That was
what it's
my
called.
Favorite instrument. I don't remember what it's called, but that was my favorite instrument. That's super cool, great for when you do a Christmas concert for Christmas songs.
Interesting.
Did you ever play Carol of the Bells?
Probably. I think.
Everybody's played Carol of the Bells.
Did you play?
Except me.
They're all like weird stuff. And then I remember we would perform drum circles, like all the percussion team. We had like a percussion teacher in concert band or concert band. And the percussion teacher would teach us drum circle songs that we would do, or songs that were all five or six of us are on a xylophone and we'd all play together.
Was it like Last Xylophone Standing?
No.
The worst one. The teacher was like, you stop, get out.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
You just play scales faster and faster, and whoever messed up first was out.
I got to be honest, I'm getting antsy. I want to know how all this leads up to you and your killer band right now. When did we get there? What happened?
Okay.
How did you get to being in a killer band right now? I need to know how, and I'm not going to say the name. I'm going to leave it up to you.
Okay.
What's the band you're in right now?
New Monarchy.
Oh. New Monarchy.
There's going to be a link in the description to go check out New Monarchy, Instagram, music, merch store. I like their merch almost better than mine.
Almost.
It's designed really, really well. By
AI.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
Kind of. Yeah.
But no, it does look cool. But so we haven't embarrassed John enough. I absolutely love. And I say his band. It's not like he's not the sole person in it. Mm. He does have.
He's a one man band.
He has two other people with him.
Yep.
Patricia and Daniel.
Yep. That's
them. Definitely their names. Patrick and Dan.
Oh, okay. I was very confused when he's like, that's definitely their real names. I'm like, what are their real names?
They are a trio, and they make bomb fire music.
Yeah.
How did that band come to be?
Oh, okay. So Patrick and I were in a band, like a mini garage band before that.
Okay.
That was called Delta 6.
Okay.
I think it was called.
Did you play any shows with Delta 6?
No, it was very like high school, we all suck, trying to force it together.
Yeah. Zach's got one of those.
Yeah.
So we didn't really do anything other than just jam and play together every now and then. And then so Patrick and I were in that band. And then that band split up for
creative differences.
Did they kick you out of the band? No, how can you kick me out of what is mine?
You guys got Yoko'd?
Yoko'd?
Yoko Ono'd.
What is that?
Yoko Ono, she's the reason why the Beatles ended up falling apart.
Oh, that's sad.
The crazy girl that...
Yeah, no. Was it like a romantic interest that split up the band? Anyways.
Who cares? Beatles suck.
They're okay. Ringo's... I like Ringo as a drummer.
I've never got into Beatles.
Anyways.
Anyways, New Monarchy.
Yeah, so Patrick and I were in Delta 6. And then Patrick and Dan, probably like 2 years after Delta 6 split up, Patrick and Dan started their own thing and needed a drummer. And then they asked me to sit on for a couple jams.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized
how... So you
had
to audition?
Kind of. Like, they came to the...
Wait, did you know Dan before this?
He says I did, but I don't remember, unfortunately. We're definitely really close now. But starting out, he was more of like Patrick's friend rather than my friend.
Gotcha.
And they came, Patrick came to my church a couple times and watched me played. And that was kind of like the moment he was like, we need that drummer watching me play.
Because John is phenomenal.
He's the best. He's the best.
Good, take a drink of water.
So you kind of got a little audition. They were like, yep, this is right. And how long ago was that? How long have you guys been together as a band?
Oh.
And where's your friggin' album?
We've probably been a band for... 2 years almost, a year and a half.
Something good came out of COVID.
That's funny. And then the EP that we were working on, what? We had to scrap. So we're starting from scratch.
I know I said this to you in person when we talked about this, but I'm kind of bummed about it. I feel like you guys should still make the EP and still release it because right. I love seeing, we were talking about it, love seeing a band, like a band's roots and how they progress into, even if they change style, like how they
I mean, even if you
grow.
Even if you listen to the episode I did with Gabe, we talk about the first two or three songs he released. And even between the second and the third song, how much improved. And then compared to the EP and the album he released, where I'm like, oh my God, he's like doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Release it. Can well, we? Don't even release it. I'll buy it from you. Just give me the soul copy. Just
private
sale. I just want it. It's I funny. Want your music because it's so good.
Wow.
So your band, you're kind of changing the style.
Yep.
What was your style?
We went from... alternative rock to more trying to get into electronic indie rock, and now we're trying to go back into alt rock. It's just like we're all like we're like trying to find what works for us. Because
when are you guys gonna start like doing show? Have you guys played shows?
No, not yet. They lived in Vermont for a little bit, and then those two alone did like kind of like a small little party show thing. But I wasn't there. I want to play shows. I'm a little nervous to play on house kits because those always sound scary. Super They're broken always, and just there's a hole through the snare drum.
I was
or something
just
like that.
Gonna say you'd show up and there'd be a hole through the snare drum and
the seat's like metal rod is going through the seat. And you're like, what's happening? But we definitely want to play shows and hopefully sooner rather than later.
And we will attend.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
And we'll shout you out on our podcast.
Hell yeah.
Maybe from the person from the Netherlands can come over and catch a show.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
If they do, they get a free ticket.
So that's your personal band, like creative, but you've also play on the worship team at our church.
Yeah.
Have you like grown up playing in worship teams, like youth group teams, anything like that? How did that start, where you started playing on the worship team?
Little cute baby John started playing a youth group.
Yeah.
He was such a little cutie boy.
I probably joined the church that we're at now 7 years ago, 8 years ago, maybe.
I'd say 8 years ago.
8 years ago. And then we only had one drummer at the time, I think. It was just Jordan. So I would play.
But really, Jordan's phenoms. About eight drummers in one.
Yeah. He's an animal. So I started playing on our youth service thing. And I was a very shy, quiet drummer. And always was told that I was playing like a princess, which I was, to be fair.
I was told that you were informed that you did have to start like playing louder and like,
yeah,
it's okay to hit the drums, yeah. John.
You won't break them and they won't hit back.
But I will if you don't start playing more.
So it's been a huge journey of gaining more and more confidence when playing the kit. And I'm always approached and people comment on that progress that they've seen, especially if it's like someone who hasn't been at the church a lot and they like visit every couple years or whatever. They'll usually come up to me like, wow, you're like a completely different drummer.
Or they don't recognize me. Like, we are so glad that you're here at the church, because the kid they had here a few years ago, he sucked.
He played like a princess.
Yeah. I couldn't even hear him.
John's like, wow, what a loser that kid was.
Yeah, that guy sucked.
I mean, but it is night and day. Like, with just the... Yeah. Even when you try... Like, you actually try new things now at practice.
Yeah.
And sometimes I turn around to you and I'm like, that was awesome. And sometimes I'm like, that didn't go how you anticipated, did it?
Yeah.
And then we both just start laughing.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
But yeah, it's been great playing with the worship team for so many years.
How many years?
6 or 7. I feel like I started playing the drums on the team pretty quickly after I started joining the went to a church.
You started on Engage Youth.
Yeah.
I think you were maybe 15 or probably 16.
Somewhere around there.
Well, so that also brings up, you were also a fairly new drummer when you started playing on the team. So
drum set player,
Yeah. So as you've learned more on the kit, you've also grown as a drummer. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, everyone who's at the church got to see that growth.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We all did it together.
Like my life, your life, together?
That's funny. That's probably all my band experience playing with music. It's the worship team, the band I'm in now, school band, and that little tiny garage Delta 6 band. Which was a
but
joke.
You never wrote any songs, right? Like,
no. Did Delta 6 ever go dark?
No. That was funny, actually. I'm not going to insult you. That was funny.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I remember...
I'm making a Call of Duty reference.
I remember for Delta 6, one of our friends wanted to sing for us. And he's like... He was the really short kid who I didn't like hit, who hasn't hit puberty yet. He actually had to get steroids to like medicinal steroids so that he could grow
to like,
so he had like a really high pitched voice,
yeah,
even in like middle school and early high school. Anyways, his audition, I made a bet with him that if he could scream louder than I could play the drums, then he would be in the band, and he did it.
Did it just sound like a small?
It sounded like someone was being murdered.
Female child being murdered.
Yeah,
So super high pitched.
So
that was kind of funny.
That was fun. And then everything just fell apart. And now
like
we're here.
Bands tend to do.
Yeah, didn't work out. That's okay. So that's my experience.
Nice.
Zach was in an emo band.
I like to hear about Ish. That.
Wait, the Ish was the band was Ish? Or the emo
the band was
Ish?
Was trash.
So the band was Ish.
I would say it was more more like we were going for like hardcore.
No, you're not hardcore.
No, you're not hardcore.
Unless you live hardcore.
Unless you live hardcore.
I don't know this reference.
School of Rock?
I've seen it. I don't remember. I don't remember that.
Okay.
Part.
All right. We're having a trilogy. We're going to do. Yes. We're going to do Whiplash, School of Rock, and Tenacious D.
Yes.
Tenacious D is a movie? I thought that was a.
It's a band.
Yeah.
But they made a movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Too.
Jack Black and his.
Kyle
dad?
Gass.
The brother?
No.
No, not related.
No relation.
Okay. Nope. Kindred spirits.
Gotcha. I was going to say, they seem like they'd. Anyways.
So. Once I started my band experience, once I started playing drums, of course, all my little friends from youth group that were like, we were like 13 and 14, and some of them were like learning bass or learning electric guitar and whatnot, and we were like, we should make a band, you know? So we literally had a garage band where we would practice. Actually, not a garage band, a driveway band, because one of the guys... His family was fairly wealthy, and they had a big house with a big driveway, and so we could just go like set up in their driveway, and we would play, and it was mostly just like a bunch of teenage kids that were new to their instruments jamming in the driveway, and it was all terrible, but we called it a band.
Was it outside?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like,
did
in,
you miss
in
the part where they said the driveway? They played
well,
in
that's
the driveway?
What I was like, yeah. That's such a weird place to...
Well, because the garage was full.
Okay.
So it really was like we would just bring our stuff over and we'd...
Extension cords.
Play in the driveway, yeah. Well, I played drum kit, so I didn't need an extension cord. So, but it was... So we called it a band. We were terrible because we were all still learning our instruments. We wanted to be like... This was in the era of like emo, screamo, hardcore music. Like we were all little emo kids. I... did at one point have like long hair.
Oh, that's so awesome.
All of us did. And
did you paint your fingernails black?
No, I didn't do that.
What?
I didn't do that. No.
I always wanted to do that, but I always thought people would judge me about it, so I never actually did it. Now I'm just too old.
What?
That's true. So we had a killer name for our band though. Which I was not a part of creating the name, because they made it while three of them were playing Gears of War one night, and I guess there's some level that's like in a graveyard, and they're like, oh, blah, 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 something, something, hey, yeah, it's like a gunfight in a graveyard, and they were like, oh. That's such a hardcore name for a hardcore band. Gunfight in the Graveyard.
That's a
and,
great name.
That is, yeah, that's a pretty
so
sick name.
We
actually.
Thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Gunfight in the Graveyard. And then for, yeah.
Was this secular music or religious music? Because you said you came from the
I mean,
youth
we
team.
we didn't really write any music. Okay. Because we were terrible. Like, we would jam in the driveway, like, trying to come up with music. So I don't think we really... We didn't get that far. Okay. We knew that we wanted to be more, like, kind of... Hardcore.
Edgy.
Yeah, edgy. Yeah. And we never really got into actually writing music. It was just, like, driveway jams.
At the rich kid's house.
Yeah. And so eventually they decided to shorten the name just to Gunfight.
Stupid.
Yeah. So we never wrote any of our own music. We would like find songs and like try to learn how to play them and stuff. We never played any shows or anything because we were terrible. And that just it really just kind of fizzled out as we got further into like high school and just we didn't really play. And then I jumped on, like, the youth group worship team, and that's where I actually, like, learned how to play with the band, was playing with the worship team at youth group, playing drums. And then I played one show with my drum teacher. He, again, very talented musically, and he played multiple instruments. Mm-hmm. And he was creating a band and asked me to come play the drums.
Wow.
And so, and I, he was playing piano for it, I think. It was a progressive jazz band. And we, it was called Geometric Sheep.
Nice. That's cool. I like that.
So, again, not I had no part in naming it. He just asked me to come on. And it was interesting playing drums in a band with my drum teacher. Because it was like, we almost would write the drums together because he knew what he wanted. So in one sense, it was easy because he would help me write the drum pieces. But on the other hand, it was also a little weird because you're like, I'm playing drums in my drum teacher's band.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And we only ever played one show.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty fun. We played at like this coffee shop for a little event that the coffee shop had. And then...
did it go well?
Yeah. I mean, the show went really good. And then it all kind of fell apart because one of the people in the band, my drum teacher and her, were dating. And then they split up and then the band fell apart. That actually is a reoccurring theme for any bands I played in. Because I played in another band when I was in college. This was also during the era when like Mumford & Sons was just becoming big.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do that, like, indie folk rock, like, yeah, kind of sound, and got into that. And I was asked to come play drums. Again, I was asked to come play drums, so I didn't have any part in, like, naming the band or anything like that. But they were called the Widdershins, which is, I guess, like, a German word for, like, the outcasts or, something like that. And then that was actually fun. Like, it was a band where I actually got to, like, be pretty creative. And we had, like, 8 people in the band.
Whoa.
Like, multiple singers. And they would do, like, complex harmonies and cool stuff.
Yeah. So you guys inspired the Wu-Tang Clan?
Yes.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm. And then we were actually starting to set up some shows, and then other people in the band that were dating each other broke up, and again, it just derailed the band. So, and then outside of that, I've played in worship teams for, like, the church that I was a part of, youth group. Then when I was at IHOP, the International House of Prayer, for several years, I played in their... like their Justice House of Prayer, and I did drums, I did some vocals, did some like worship leading, and played guitar, and subbed a handful of times in the global prayer room. And that's, and then after I got like onto the PD, and I had a negative experience with playing with a team there, and kind of was like, nah, I'm done with this, and I stopped playing music for like 6 years until
the valley recently.
At IHOP, you had the negative experience?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
So, with a particular
individual?
Yes. I would say that. Particular team. Mm-hmm. I don't want to drag, like, talk negatively, but in one particular team, there was some decisions that were made that were kind of...
not cool.
Not cool.
And no matter how you break it down, whether it's a worship band or a regular band, it's still people.
It's
and
still
people are going to be people. And
right.
Not everybody's going to get along.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And
it happens. But I'm very excited now to be getting back into playing music and back into... playing on a worship team. And
this is where we announce for the very first time, us three will be forming a Creed cover band.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Absolutely. Who's going to take on the vocals?
Me.
What am I playing?
Okay.
We're going to have 2 drummers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2 drummers,
a bassist,
and a vocalist who's going to try their best to imitate.
Well, I just heard the news today. Yeah. Sees my life. He's gonna change.
You have to sound like you're struggling.
Yeah.
Through every like word.
But 100%, if they come around here for the reunion tour, we're gonna go see them.
Absolutely. It's the same thing as like, like my sister listened to NSYNC and I like made fun of her liking boy bands and stuff, but now that they're talking about like like reunion, I'm like, I would totally go to an NSYNC
concert. I would go to an NSYNC concert. Just when Backstreet Boys came around, I had no ambition to go see the Backstreet Boys, but I'll go see NSYNC.
I would go see JT and the crew.
Joey Fatone.
Yeah. Well, talking about Timberlake and the
Joey Fatone.
But yes,
I think that's that.
Well,
go that see Creed. Hashtag 2023.
Wow.
John, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of our podcast and sharing your life story and your insight.
Yeah, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule for us.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Yeah. There will be many more opportunities in the future.
Cool.
I have a lot of ideas for like other episodes talking about different aspects of musical stuff. So thank you guys again for listening to the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. If you enjoy what we do here, you enjoy the podcasts, feel free to like, subscribe, find us on Instagram, Facebook, pretty much anywhere that...
Website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, our website. I forgot that last time, too.
I know.
MyLifeYourLifeTogether.com website. If you like what we do and you want to support us, there's also links to merch in our social media and on our website. We'd greatly appreciate it. And shout out again to our one dedicated fan in the Netherlands. If you are really in the Netherlands, that one fan, hit us up on anywhere or any of our social medias. So thank you guys again, and we will see you soon.